On the show today, we have LSC's very own Libby Calderon talking about COVID-19 fraud, rise in contactless and digital payments, and a high-level overview of collections. So check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have LSC's very own Libby Calderon. Libby, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm great, Mike. I am great. I'm surviving the COVID just like all of us and working at home and social distancing and all that good stuff.
Good for you. Yeah, we're all trying just to be like good soldiers here and toeing the line and hopefully get on the backside of this so we can get back to our normal lives, whatever that may be.
Absolutely. Yeah, the new normal. So
Exactly. Hey, today we're talking COVID-19 fraud. We're talking about the rise in contactless digital payments, prepaid cards, then maybe a high level overview of collections. I mean, we've got the whole gamut here. My goodness.
We do. Right. We're talking a little bit of everything.
I know. So what are you seeing out there in terms of fraud these days? Because I heard the fraudsters are like, they are on overtime doing all sorts of crazy stuff right now. And it's just so unfortunate.
You know, for sure they are. It is unfortunate. It's here. You'd hope that people are doing good now in this time. And in fact, this is really escalated fraud trends. Just to put it in perspective, we've stopped, and we stop a lot of fraud for the customers that we process their debit and credit for. In the last, I'd say, 8 weeks, we've stopped over $1 million in fraud.
Wow.
And last year, it was about $3.5 million for the entire year.
Oh,
so that
God.
Gives you a feel for just how quickly it's escalating and how many more attempts are out there. And it's really just the same old stuff kind of happening in fraud. It's the phishing. It's the smishing. We're seeing a lot of that where the fraudsters are reaching out to consumers, trying to get their personal information, their card information.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being pretty creative about it right now because they're using, you know, the government payments, the EIP payments. They're using, you know, World Health Organization information, something from the CDC. You know, they're presenting themselves as an expert or an authority. They need to get this information in order to process payments to consumers. And so we're really urging consumers to be very cautious.
Yeah.
But as always, if somebody calls you and contacts you either via email or a phone call or a text, hang up and call the number that you know is the valid number for your financial institution. Don't call the number they give you.
Exactly.
You're probably gonna be right.
Yeah, because I've heard these folks, they're sitting around the house just like we are, you know, and they have a little bit extra time to kind of hone their skills and polish their practices. And so they're really getting quite good from the stories that I've heard. So yeah, you really got to use your common sense. And again, like you said, double check these things. If there's any doubt, you know, double check it with your credit union, right?
Yeah, and they're reaching out not just to consumers, they're doing it really in credit union call centers as well. Because, you know, COVID has forced branches to close. Yeah. So credit unions are redeploying staff maybe that didn't work in call centers before. So they're not as seasoned as sniffing out that fraud as a typical call center fraud as well. Mm-hmm. The fraudsters know that. So they're taking advantage. They're calling credit unions themselves in their call centers and trying to change email addresses or change phone numbers so that they can get access to accounts then.
Yeah.
We've had several of those that we've talked with credit unions about in the last few weeks. So,
well, kudos
definitely
to you guys.
Out there in that fraud as well.
Yeah, and kudos to you guys for stopping that. I mean, $1 million in basically a month, I guess, you know, whereas. Gosh, that's phenomenal.
You know, the other one that, Mike, that's popping back up that kind of went away for a while was the ATM skimmers. And those are back even more so because, again, branches are closed. So that might be the only way people are interacting with their financial institution. And so, you know, we're telling credit unions, you've got to get out there every day and check to see if there's a skimmer. So either you outsource that or you do it yourself. But because, you know, they throw those skimmers on there for a couple hours and they're not leaving them for days. They're leaving them for a few hours.
Yeah.
And you just got to get out there and check and make sure that's not out there. And that has kind of went away. But now with the resurgence of.
Everyone's taking out money out of the ATMs and stuff, getting cash.
Absolutely.
And that type of stuff. Yeah, they're on to it. Hey, let's switch gears here to payments here. So can you share some trends in the payments space that credit unions need to watch out for? I mean, are we talking prepaid, debit, credit, all that type of stuff? What are we seeing out there right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Just in transactional volume, and as to be expected, a lot of that's went down. Certainly on the credit side, we're seeing about 30% reduction in transactional volume for credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Debit's been flat to even increasing. Even increasing as well, especially now with the economic impact checks coming out. Mm-hmm. Those are getting deposited into members' accounts, and so they're using their debit cards to transact on those funds. So we're seeing the pickup there. On the prepaid side, surprisingly, reloads for prepaids are actually picking up a bit too, because that might be the only way that, you know, members can get access to their funds. So they're reloading them onto their prepaid cards, and we're seeing credit unions issue a few more prepaid cards.
Wow.
The reloadable prepaid cards out to their members, because you can reload those remotely. You can do it from a debit or credit card. You can do a direct deposit. You can even have your unemployment check direct deposited onto a prepaid card if you want to.
Nice. And yeah, because so I was thinking, do you put it through the mail slot at the branch, or? No, exactly. I like that you can do it remotely, so that's good stuff.
Yeah, you can really do everything remotely, so we are seeing that pick up as well on the prepaid side.
Yeah, everything is changing to, I mean, the whole digital aspect of the whole remote aspect of it is just phenomenal, how that just, the tidal wave has just surged over to that, because we can't do anything in person anymore, or at least for the time being. It's just amazing how fast it's shifted and how fast credit unions have actually reacted to it, which is a really good thing.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the contactless cards, and a lot of credit unions are sort of dabbling in contactless right now, just reissuing a natural reissuance as cards are expiring or as lost stolen cards. And now we're seeing a lot of credit unions are doing just mass reissuance, and they just have to do it. And those cards are expensive. A contactless card is a lot more expensive than a chip card, but that's what the merchants want. That's what the cardholders
want.
So you've got to use it. Yeah, you've got to do it. And you've got to tokenize as well. So if your cards can't be loaded into a mobile wallet, you need to get that tokenization set up so that can be allowed as well. So we're working with a lot of credit unions on getting their contactless out and getting set up for tokenization.
Gotcha. Good stuff.
If they hadn't already.
And so what advice would you give credit unions at this time in regards to payments? Because obviously you said contactless is, I mean, not only is it important now, I think it's going to be really important, you know, over the next 3 or 4 years. So
absolutely. They need to get their strategy up and ready for how they're going to get contactless cards out there to their members and how they're going to get tokenization in place, and any promotions that you can do to encourage your members to tokenize their cards and get them in the wallet. That will be helpful.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot with credit unions just about trying to get transactional activity onto those cards, especially on the debit side. You know, credit side, we've always used sort of rewards to encourage transactional activity, be it cash back or points. And everybody knows what to do there. You might want to change your categories that you're rewarding. You know, travel, not so much. You might want to be rewarding more of those subscription-based services, be it Netflix or even Amazon, do some of that. But on the debit side, you know, we're seeing some credit unions actually express some interest in debit rewards again, which have kind of went away. And now there's some renewed interest in debit rewards.
I like the sound of that because we're a debit family. We are debit all the way. So I would like to see more of that.
I think consumers would. So, and even just doing, you know, just some fun contests maybe with members to try to get their activity moving to their debit cards. I know when I ran a credit union, I used to do a contest where every day for a month we'd pick somebody's debit transaction and we'd pay it for them. You know, put a dollar limit on it so, you know, it's not a $5,000 transaction. And every day you do one, and members sort of like that gamification aspect, and they will get involved with that. So, you know, think creatively about how you can get your members to be using the debit card a little more and how you can get top of wallet for the debit card especially.
And as a side note, this little gizmo right here on my wrist has been amazing during this time because I don't have to touch anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. So I'm just saying.
So you got to be tokenized in order for that to work. So you got to get your card tokenized.
And it's not only top of wallet, it's top of watch, my card.
Right. You're right. Yeah, you don't even want to pull a wallet out anymore. So
nope, not this kid. Hey, let's switch gears once again to collections. I know let's talk about this at a high level. I know we can't get too deep here, but so what should credit unions be doing here to kind of weighing empathy versus business or whatever you want to talk about with collections? Because that's going to start coming around here in the next 90 days, I'm hearing, something like that.
It absolutely is. And having run credit unions for years, empathy and collections is really rules the day. One, it's the right thing to do. When people are suffering, being empathetic to that is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's good business as well. And why I say that is I harken back to the financial crisis days. And I know when I was running a credit union then, you know, we would talk to our members and we would say, we understand you're in hard times. but work with us and try to, well, let's work some payment terms out, right? Because you are going to need to borrow again in the future, someday in your life. Mm-hmm. And you're going to trash your credit right now. But if you keep a relationship with us, we can be there for you in the future.
Right.
And members appreciated that. And so it was good business down the road. We actually ended up ahead. So I urge credit unions to do that for two reasons. One, it is the right thing to do as humans. It's just to be empathetic is the proper thing. But it's a good business practice for them down the road. And now's the time to get your collections amped up and get it ready, because you are going to need it. Like you said, in 90 days, it's going to come. And so you need to have your relationships with your attorneys established. You need to know how to work the bankruptcy court. Sadly, a lot of members are going to file bankruptcy. So yeah. You need to know how to work all that paperwork that has to happen. And most of it's electronic. Mm-hmm. You're going to do it a lot. You're going to be doing it a lot more. So you need to have that ready. Have your repo agent relationships ready. Because sadly, you're probably going to have to do some repos at some point.
Right.
So you just need to have that ready. Cross-training staff. That I can't say enough, because if you have two people in your collections department now, you're probably going to need four. Mm-hmm. So maybe cross-train some staff, excuse me, and move them over into those departments so you can exercise that. And training a collector doesn't happen overnight. You've got to teach those listening skills.
Yeah.
You've got to teach that empathy. So many times members just really want to share their story. Mm-hmm. You know, and they want a sympathetic ear. So you need to learn how to be that. So I urge credit unions to really start positioning yourself now for the wave that's coming, because know it's coming, and get ready. And you can be that empathetic ear, and you can be that empathetic lender. And that will really make the difference. And it's the opportunity for our industry to really wear a white hat in all of
agreed.
This.
Agreed. Yeah. And I'm thinking about it. Gosh, you know, you take care of them now, they're going to take care of you later type of messaging as well. Because I mean, obviously if they have to go through, they have a history with your credit union. So your credit union knows when they want to come back to you a few years down the line and they want to get a loan for a new car or something like that, you have that history.
Right.
So you already know. It's not some sort of brand new thing where you have to kind of re-explain your story. You already have that history. So I think that's a really huge thing for a credit union who helps somebody out in this time right now. It'll help them down the road for sure.
And even being creative in your collections, it might seem counterintuitive to say, okay, I'm going to do a loan for somebody, but maybe you can restructure their debt in some way, shape, or form. And there's a lot of ways to do that creatively. So think outside of the box when you're looking at each member. And, you know, collections sometimes gets a bad rap as, oh, I don't want to work in collections. But actually, it's actually really fun because it's a different story with every single member. And no two are alike, and it's certainly not boring. So working in collections is actually very rewarding. So.
That was the word I was thinking of too, because if you can turn somebody's life around in that instance, oh my gosh, the rewards goes beyond whatever else is
absolutely.
Happening.
Absolutely. And it really is. And that's who we are as credit unions. So this is the time to be that empathetic lender. And I, even before this, I've always told people, if you need to borrow from a credit union, because if you do have troubles, they're going to work with you. Mm-hmm. And they just are, no matter what the size of the credit union, because that's what they're ingrained to do. So
indeed. And so how is all of this going to play out? Because we're already talking recovery. And so everyone's talking, I mean, not everybody, but some are further down that road than most, but we're already starting to hear the mumblings and murmurings of recovery. So how does all this play into the recovery process? Is it just going to be the same as what we're doing now, or is it going to be different, or what do you see getting your crystal ball out?
We've talked a lot about, you know, credit unions really looking at their delivery channels going forward. How are things going to be different in their delivery channels with their members, be it in branch, which I think is going to be significantly different going forward, in their call centers and in their mobile strategies. So, you know, take this time now to really start to think about how that will look different in the future. Do we need as many branches as we have, and what will they look like?
Yeah.
You got to be thinking about that. If I was in the process of building a branch right now, I'd be a little nervous. Who knows? Are people going to go into branches anymore? And think about your payment strategy. And what I tell credit unions here is, okay, a member may only come into a branch once a week. Maybe they call your call center twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking about their debit and credit card 20 to 30 times a month. And so that's your brand, and that's your main communication with your member. And so really thinking about your payment strategy and how you're best going to capture share of member wallets going forward. is even more relevant now than in the past.
Agreed, agreed. All right, Libby, I'm going to let you get going because you probably have a lot on your plate, so I don't want to keep you from it. But any final words of wisdom here to wrap up with all of this? Or
My words of wisdom are credit unions are well-positioned, one, to survive this, and well-positioned to thrive going forward because, you know, we do the right thing. Yep. And at the end of the day, I really think doing the right thing is never the wrong thing. So we're going to be very successful going forward. And I'm really optimistic, just all the wonderful stories you hear of things credit unions are doing. Mm-hmm. And this industry is going to grow and thrive into the future. So that's who our DNA is. And I'm excited to see what credit unions do.
Me too. Well stated, for sure. All right, Libby, thank you so much. Appreciate the time as always. LSC's Libby Calderon. Go check them out, everybody. Thanks again, Libby. That was great.
Thanks so much, Mike. Be well.
You too. Thank you.